in the middle of the pandemic like a crazy person. I was like, now's the perfect time to go full time.
Amazing. Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a seven-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast. So many entrepreneurs that I meet and talk to on this podcast share a common trait. They're multi-passionate. And as creatives and just as humans, we have many interests and passions, and that often shows through the businesses that we build. That being said, multi-passionate entrepreneurs can run into some unique challenges when it comes to growing and marketing and scaling their businesses. That's what we're digging into for this Gold Digger Podcast coaching session. Stephanie Cintron is a photographer and a website designer in Savannah, Georgia. After pursuing photography as a side hustle while working full-time as an e-commerce product manager and falling in love with web design, she knew that entrepreneurship was a non-negotiable. In 2021, she jumped headfirst into full-time entrepreneurship and hasn't looked back. Steph's business now combines both photography and web design. Yes, she is multi-passionate, just like me. In this session, we'll explore ways to seamlessly combine multiple offerings under one umbrella, the marketing strategies that support a business with more than one focus, plus ways to quiet the noise and get clear about what you really want to pursue when shiny objects pop up all around you. Class is back in session. Let's get started. Something I love about being a podcaster is getting the chance to support my network of fellow creators and business owners. Being Boss, hosted by Emily Thompson, is an exploration of not only what it means, but what it takes to be boss as a creative business owner, a freelancer, or side hustler. Being Boss is another amazing resource for anyone interested in getting inspired and, more importantly, getting started. If you like Gold Digger, trust me, you are going to love Being Boss. Emily even covers topics that are near and dear to our Gold Digger hearts, like taking time off as an entrepreneur and finding vision for your business and life. Listen to Being Boss wherever you get your podcasts. Stephanie, welcome to the Gold Digger Podcast. I am so excited. Today we get to do a coaching session together and you get to ask me all the questions. So really, I've got the hard work in front of me. You get to just sit back and learn. So how are you doing? And tell me a little bit about yourself.
I am doing really well. Things have been really crazy in this first year and I couldn't ask for anything more, honestly. Things have just been really unexpected in the best way. But I guess just a little bit about me. I'm a 25-year-old girl living in Savannah, Georgia, pursuing a career in photography and in website design. And it's been a long time coming, but this first year, like I said, it's just been really great.
Amazing. What kind of photography do you do?
Yeah, so I primarily work with couples. That's kind of my bread and butter. Just now in this first year, I'm trying to dive back into wedding photography. I did it a little bit while I was in college. And then after going into corporate America, I kind of took a step back because I knew I wasn't going to really be able to serve brides the way I wanted to. So diving back into that and then also doing grads.
Amazing. Okay, so tell me about how you started your business. So you are 1 year in, which congratulations. A lot of people don't make it through 1 year, and to do it through a pandemic is pretty incredible. So walk me through, like, what was your transition out of corporate America and into entrepreneurship like?
Yeah, so really the whole journey with photography started 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, when I started as a freshman in college, kind of taking it a little bit more seriously. I actually went to school for photography. And then as I, you know, graduated as a senior, I was kind of unsure on what that meant and what I wanted that to look like for me outside of school. And the company that I interned with, they had offered me a job. And so I was like, yeah, I don't want to be a broke photo student graduating college and not really knowing what I'm doing. So I jumped into corporate America doing actually e-commerce. And so I did that for about a year and a half. And then I met my fiance while I was in college, and he wanted to move down to Savannah. And I was like, okay, yeah, photography is going to be amazing down there. Yes. So it was an easy move. But even then, when I left that job in corporate America, I went into working two part-time jobs just to get by because I didn't really have a clientele down here. And then after about a year of doing that, in the middle of the pandemic, like a crazy person, I was like, now's the perfect time to go full-time.
Amazing. And then, so you're not just a photographer, and not that I hate the word just anyways, but you also are a website designer. So tell me a little bit about that side of your business.
Yeah. So that's honestly the most unexpected part about this first year for me. So I brought that on really after I had accepted the job into corporate America right outside of college. So doing e-commerce, I was working for a women's boutique, and one of my first projects when I started that job was to redesign their website. And I was like, okay, sure. No, don't really have too much experience here. So I was pretty self-taught. I'd still say that I'm very self-taught, and now I'm definitely taking that a little bit deeper and going into more of like education and, you know, taking all the sources that I need in for that. But yeah, that's kind of where that kind of started, was right out of college doing that e-commerce job. And I, you know, was playing around on the internet, playing around with all these different platforms, and fell in love with it. Honestly, I love it just as much as I do photography. And people think that's crazy because they don't understand how I could sit in front of a screen all day, but it's like a little puzzle to me. So definitely brought that on.
I love that. You know what? You're bringing me back so much, Stephanie, because when I first started out, I used WordPress and I'd bought like a pro photo theme for my website, and I figured out how to do that. And then I did it for a few other photographers because they were like, I don't know how to do my site. And I was like, oh, I just did it. I can do it for you for a couple hundred dollars. And it's just, you're literally bringing me back to my early days, which is so exciting. And I just want to say bravo to you for making so many different leaps, from moving to leaving your job to starting a business during a pandemic to growing that business. So let's dive on into the questions you have. And I am so excited to hopefully help you out today.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. What's number one?
First, I'd like to ask, obviously you're a marketing expert, and so I have these two contrasting services with photography and website design, and I'm trying to figure out in this season what's going to be, you know, the most beneficial and clear way to create content and market these services without confusing the two different audiences that are associated with them.
Yeah. So I love that you are multi-passionate. And I think that that is super important. And I think that's how we stay passionate, to be honest, so that we don't get so stuck in one thing. So one of the things I'm curious for you guys in Georgia, do you have a sort of off season or a slow season with photography, or is it pretty consistent year round?
I like to argue in Savannah, it's pretty consistent just because there, you know, it's warmer down here as far as photography goes. And so, you know, people are consistently traveling in. It's a big tourist town. People come here specifically to elope or do small weddings. And then I mean, maybe the beginning of the year in January, February.
Perfect. Because for us up in the Midwest, it was literally like 6 months of craziness. And then it was like 6 months of quietness. And so that's super helpful contextually. So one thing I would say is that the two contrasting services do not compete at all. People that want to book you for photography, that's what they want. So one of the things that you want to think about is that I believe that you could have just one brand. You could have your brand that is you with the two different things. And what you want to think about, especially as a website designer, which you probably are really good at this already, is thinking about that customer's journey. So when I was transitioning out of photography, I was still shooting. It was a very slow transition. I did not just jump ship, but I was serving brides, and then I was also serving business owners, right? And it's like, okay, how do we not like like convolute the message or like, how do we not be like, wait, what does she do? So we really thought super thoughtfully about like how our website was laid out so that it was super obvious. Like if you're a photography client, you click right here. And then they just see photography stuff. If you're looking to get a website design, you click right here. And then that's kind of a separate branch. So it almost feels like two separate landing pages or two separate places for people to land where they can get that information. But one thing that I found that I think a lot of us trick ourselves into believing is we're like, I'm too confusing. People don't get me. And it's like, no, no, no. Let's just make the journey super easy for them. And I think that people love to work with passionate people. So it's like, no one's going to fault you for wanting to do more than one thing. I think as human beings, we want to do a million things. And so the other piece of that too is a lot of times when we're serving a broader audience like that, we tend to try to please everyone when we're talking, which makes our speech and our copy way more generic. And so let's say even on Instagram, for example, you're showing off a new website that you built. Don't feel like you need to try to talk in a way that your brides or photography clients understand. Speak to the exact people that would want a website template or that would want a website done by you. And then same for your photography stuff. Don't try to speak in a way that's so generic that your web design clients would understand, because you're not repelling anyone. You're just speaking more clearly to the right people. So think about that customer journey and just think about how you can make it so easy. One thing that I did, and I literally still have the paper from when I did this, is I took a piece of paper and I said, okay, let's say I hear about Stephanie and I want to book a session. How many clicks do I need to make to go from hearing her name to landing on her website and booking a session? And you kind of want to look at that journey. And then same thing on the other side. Let's say I want Stephanie to design me a website. How many clicks do I need to do on her website to go from hearing her name to booking her for a consult? And you want to just make that journey as simple and clear as possible. And I think sometimes we overcomplicate things, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I guess like my biggest concern, and it's really refreshing to hear you say this, because I've had, you know, multiple conversations with friends and family, and they're like, well, I just think they need to be two separate brands. I'm like, do they really though?
Yeah.
And so it's really nice to hear that it can kind of be umbrellaed under like one thing.
Absolutely. And that's what's so cool too, is like, I mean, if you look at my brand today, it could be very confusing. And sometimes it is confusing to people. But at the same point, if we look at like how we lay things out, it's pretty easy to find what you're looking for. And no one is ever like, oh, you can't be an influencer and an educator. Like no one would ever say that, right? Like you would never tell someone like play small. So just make it really simple. And honestly, I think the two are so closely related that it's not confusing at all to me. Like I totally get it. So I'm your people.
Amazing. I love it. I love that.
Okay. What next question?
Yeah. So next, again, this is my first year and I'm, you know, a solopreneur and I'm proud of that in many ways, but sometimes, and we can all probably attest to this, but you can't spread your butter too thin. And so I am considering starting a team or bringing at least somebody on. And so I was wondering if it's ever too early to truly start a team, and who was the first person that you brought on to make your life a little bit easier?
Yes. I love this question. So I was super stubborn. So don't be like me. And, you know, so when it's a side hustle, and I'm wondering, I bet you felt this too. So when it's a side hustle and you have that either 9 to 5 or you had those two side jobs to rely on, it's really easy to invest back in your business, right? For the sake of the growth, whether you're buying gear or paying for domains or whatever, it's pretty easy because you have that income coming in. But I feel like something in our brain shifts when our business becomes our sole income. And it's almost like our grip tightens on the money we're bringing in, that we get a little afraid to invest back into the business or to spend it or to see how the investment could actually make the business grow, right? I don't know. Have you experienced that? Because I did.
Oh, no, for sure. It's a lot easier to spend it knowing exactly what's like going in and what the ROI is basically. Yes. And so not knowing that is like uncharted territory for me. And
So for me, I waited way too long. So one of the things that I started outsourcing that I swore I would never outsource a day in my life was editing. And that was the first time that I actually like felt freedom. And here's what I ended up doing. I still love editing to this day. Like I love editing, but when you're shooting weddings, if you get back into weddings, to go through and edit, you know, 1,000 pictures takes a long time.
Right.
And what I ended up doing, because I still loved a piece of that creative aspect of it, I still felt that ownership, is that I would edit my 150 favorite photos so that I felt like I had that piece of the creator and like I had that control. And then I would upload those 150 photos and my editor would then just match my edits for the rest of them. So I never had to re-edit cocktail hour or family formals or some of those things that I didn't love as much. And it kind of preserved my passion in that I got to edit all the beautiful portraits and the things that I loved. And my clients got to see their photos really quickly because I was the one editing those sneak peeks. So that was the first thing. And what I recognized there was I was paying, you know, it was like 5 to 10 cents a photo to be edited.
Sure.
And when I looked at it, I'm like, okay, that's like $200 per wedding. If I could book one more shoot per week, I would be shooting more, which I love, and I'd be sitting behind my computer way less. And so that was what kind of opened my eyes into investing. So that was the first thing. And then the second thing that I did was just hire a VA, which was an hourly basis. And the biggest thing that she helped with was my inbox, because my inbox gave me stress.
I can relate.
So especially when you are serving multiple different clients through multiple avenues and you have different deadlines or different contracts or different invoicing systems, what that helped me with so much was knowing that people were hearing back right away, that they were being served, and then that that VA was helping me organize like my priorities, my calendar, and things like that. And what's beautiful about that is if you can find somebody that works on an hourly basis, one, they're probably going to work way faster than you are. And two, it kind of releases some of that guilt and stress from you. Cause like, I just remember I would like read an email and mark it unread because I'm like, oh, I'll get back to that later. And then I was like, oh, that email stresses me out. And then I would not get back to it later. And then I would just not get back to it at all. And I'm like, that is not good business.
You are preaching to the choir right now. I did that literally this morning. And so I'm wondering if maybe that's a good starting point, especially because, you know, weddings, I've gotten a few this year. And so, but it's not really like the majority of my business right now. Yes. And so even, having someone to manage the inbox.
And honestly, what's so crazy is that we tell ourselves so many lies around hiring too, where we're like, it's going to take way too long to train them. Or what if they say the wrong thing? Or what if like, and here's the thing is I was like, honestly, at this point, hearing a response is better than me not responding at all. And what was crazy is that like, I remember like 3 days in, I like checked my inbox and all of a sudden it was back to zero. And I was like, wait, what kind of like sorcery is this? And then I went into the sent inbox and I was reading her like beautiful, kind responses. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is what I needed. And I felt just like so freed up to be more in the creative and less in the like executor or the integrator. And I was like, oh, this is what I needed as someone who loves to create. So I would 100% start there. And there are so many amazing VAs out there that support creative businesses that understand the business itself. So the training is like wildly minimal.
Yeah, I guess adding on to that, where do you suggest looking for these people? Like, would you say Instagram, like find them like via hashtag or like LinkedIn?
I would say Facebook groups are awesome. And Facebook groups are just great because you can kind of put out a like a generic-ish post of like, hey, I just helped. Does anyone have any good recommendations for VAs? We have our Gold Digger Podcast Insiders group and we see a lot of those types of posts. And it's really cool because one, you can connect with someone else who kind of understands this side of business. And then another place that I hire a lot from is LinkedIn. And it's a little bit different, but LinkedIn is so keyword searchable that it's amazing. And you can kind of see somebody's experience from their profile before you even get in touch with them. So those would be the two places that I would start. And the other option too would be is if you have any peers in your industry or anyone that you trust that you know has a VA, a lot of VAs work for multiple clients. And so just saying like, hey, does your person have a few hours a week? Because really it's like email, probably 5 hours a week max. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what you would need when you're starting out. And so just asking if anyone, like I have contractors that work for me and work for my friends and things like that, because they're just kind of spread out that way. So I would go Facebook groups, LinkedIn, and any like recommendations from people that you trust.
Okay. Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you so much.
We've been through so many adventures together, from the first episode to now over 500 episodes. Growing the Gold Digger podcast, I can't help but see the similarities between how I grew up too. The first day of school feelings, the awkward braces years, and the excitement for what's next. And I know I'm not alone here. Growing a business takes a lot, and a HubSpot CRM platform is here to help your business grow better. HubSpot's reporting dashboard is like your crystal ball, giving you this bird's eye view on your marketing, sales, and customer service performance so that you can get ahead of any issues before they happen. Automated marketing tools allow you to create robust campaigns across all of your marketing channels, and you can even send, test, and optimize emails for different devices and inboxes. And shared inboxes make incoming chats and emails easy to manage and scale for the whole team. Learn more about how a HubSpot CRM platform can help your business grow better at HubSpot.com. I can't believe I'm saying these words, but I wrote a book. I keep thinking that the more that I say it, the more real it's going to feel, but it's truly been this surreal experience working on this massive project, especially since I said I would never do this. Never say never, right? Well, there's this amazing story behind the book, how it all came together with the encouragement of a massage therapist and seeing a mouse, and how I managed to write my heart out in secrecy over the last few years. My first book is called How Are You Really? And I would love to share all of the behind the scenes with you before it's out this summer. I sincerely hope you'll join me inside of my Insiders Club so that you can take this book writing and launching journey alongside of me. You can join right now at jennakutcher.com/book. That's jennakutcher.com/book for the insider scoop about How Are You Really? I can't wait to share this book and this journey with you. I'll see you on the inside, gold diggers.
I guess next up, yeah. So during your busiest time of the year, how do you make space for yourself? Because this is where I'm kind of finding myself right now. I'm working, and I love what I do, and I'm super excited. I would rather it be this way than the opposite, obviously. But I feel myself slowly falling into burnout, and I'm not too pumped about it. So,
oh my gosh. Yes, I 100% get it. And I feel like when you go all in on your business, it's like you're not just like proving yourself to yourself. You're proving yourself to the world in a sense. Mm-hmm. And it's like you take on this different persona who pretends like they're the Energizer Bunny, but in reality, they need rest and they need life and they need fun. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I really struggled with, and now looking back, I'm like, if I could have known, was I just had zero boundaries. So I gave my photography clients my phone number, and then I'd get text messages being like, hey, do you have any sneak peeks, or, you know, things like that, where it's like pulling me out of my life and back into work consistently, things like that. So one thing that I really love is having a super strong autoresponder, like spending a little bit of time on your autoresponder on when people can expect to hear back from you, when you check your email, how you'll respond, or if you can link them to anything that they might be needing. So like our autoresponder is so awesome because it's like, hey, like I only check my email twice a day, like once in the morning and once in the evening. And just like setting those expectations in that way can be super helpful. Not just for your clients, but also for yourself. And then the other thing that I was so bad about is like, I would literally sleep like with my laptop on my nightstand just in case like something urgent came up or things like that. And it's like, I can literally feel like my cortisol levels rising just about that stage of life of like,
yes,
like everything was urgent, you know, like feeling like everything needed my attention. And so one of the things that I got so much better at over the years, specifically as a photographer, but this would also 100% apply as a website designer, was just communicating up front. Here is when you can expect to get your gallery. Here is when you can see this first.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've recognized now where I am in my business, where I'm working with all different contractors and things, is like my experience shifts so much when I know what to expect versus when I'm putting my expectations on someone else and they're just too afraid to tell me what they can actually do. So even from like initial inquiries, or if you send over a pricing guide, that's where you can really start setting expectations about like turnaround times or how long you'll be shooting for or how much preparation you're going to invest in them. And that can really just help the whole experience out, but it can also help preserve you. The other thing that I would say is that blacking out and setting boundaries around, like, once I finally hit burnout, which I don't want to get there, I was like, next year I am saving one weekend every single month for zero work. I am taking this entire month off. And like, I literally blacked it out and said no. And it's so hard to say no, but it's like, if you can mark those things preemptively on your calendar and pretend like it's already booked or whatever, or, you know, say like time at the cabin with my family, or we're going to get away for a weekend, or whatever that looks like, just really looking at like that, because it's so funny. Like, the money doesn't really matter. It's our time. Right. And so when we can save that time, it saves us from burnout, but it also kind of preserves our lives, which is why we start this all in the first place. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted, and I've always wanted to go in entrepreneurship for time freedom. And I feel like I'm in this season right now where I'm like, I have no time that is free.
Like, I know. And it's one of those things that I really struggle with as an educator, because I'm like, is this just part of the process? Because so many of my friends too, it's like they work themselves into burnout. And I think hustle culture is just running rampant. And it's so hard as somebody who's been there, because I've done that and it was part of my success. But I also struggle with thinking, well, is that a necessity? Like, do you have to hit burnout to get the breakthrough? Like, I don't want that to be the case by any means, but I think sometimes like we need that wake up call of like, what is my value? Is it time or is it money? And I think when we're starting our businesses, our value is found in money, which is why we're willing to trade all of our time in the world to make it. But then I feel like we hit this threshold and we're like, no, I will give money away to get back my time. My time matters more. And so that's the interesting thing.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. So I guess kind of going along those lines of, you know, keep creating that time freedom. I am by no means ready to have children, but it's something that is going to happen within the next 5 to 6 years. So I'm just curious, in what ways did you prepare your business for when you were ready to start your family?
Yeah, this is such a great question. And I honestly, Stephanie, I think it's so smart to be thinking about it future paced, like 5 years from now. I think that's beautiful, because it does take time to build a business that supports that side of your life. And it's, I've watched people grow families and grow businesses simultaneously, and I'm like in awe of them. It's absolutely not impossible, but it's awesome if you're in a place where you're like thinking about it already. So it's super interesting, because we didn't want to have kids for a long time. So we were married 5 years before we even wanted children or desired it, which actually timing wise, you and I are very aligned, because we were like, until we were 30, I just kept saying maybe when I'm 30, maybe when I'm 30. And that was when Coco finally came. But it's wild, because when our hearts kind of shifted and we were like, okay, I think we're like ready to do this thing, we were absolutely not in a place to have the kind of life that we wanted as parents. So Drew was selling wine 9 to 5, retail hours, holidays, weekends, all those things. I was working crazy as a photographer. And I remember, so we had 2 miscarriages. And so when I found out I was pregnant the first time, I remember the first thing I did was look at my wedding calendar and being like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to cancel weddings. And I was like, how sad is it that that is my like first thought? You know what I mean? Of like, I built something that doesn't support what I really want. And so what I would say is when we're looking at your business, there's a few ideas that I have for you. So one of the things is, have you ever considered, and I don't know if this is something you'd even enjoy, and you can tell me no, but you could combine your services in that when you are designing websites for clients, you could also do their photography. And so you could combine those services. You wouldn't be working on weekends and you would be doing photo shoots, and then you would have control of the images that would go into the website. So you'd be shooting in a way that would help you to design even better. And that's something where it's like looking at, like, as a mom, like, weekends are just gold, you know, like, I love our weekend talk together. But the other piece of it too is figuring out how you can create some sort of scalable system that doesn't require the trade of time to make money. So website templates could be something for that. Stock photos could be something for that. And those are things that you can be working towards, like, in the five-year vision of, like, is there a way for me to make money while I'm sleeping? And if there is, how do I start just thinking about that? And what's beautiful about you being multi-passionate is that there are different ways that you can do this while still serving. And I know so many of my friends who are photographers, they're exceptional wedding photographers, and then they have children and they're like, you know, do I want to be gone every Saturday? Am I going to be able to pump at this wedding day? Like, what does this look like? You know, all of those logistics. And so the gift of photography is that you can really transition it into different spaces that allow you to just shoot for 2 hours a day instead of 10. And that's the kind of things like that. But I would just definitely be thinking about, like, some passive income opportunities that you can be working towards. And I think, like, website templates would be awesome. Stock photos would be awesome. Branding sessions would be awesome. And really, if I were somebody that needed a website and I knew that I could come out to you, do a branding shoot, do all the photos, and then have that person also be building a website, that's like an all-inclusive experience that not very many people can offer. That would be really exciting. So just a random idea.
Yeah. No, I love that. I've done that for, like, one client ever. And I guess I just never thought about scaling that and really creating, like, an all-inclusive package, but definitely wrote that down. So here we go.
Think about somebody coming to you and you having, like, hair and makeup and you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, just things like that, where I'm like, I feel like nowadays we're looking for, like, all-in-one solutions, you know, where it's like, I don't have time to wrangle 8 contractors to get one thing done. I don't know. Sure. Could be cool. Who knows?
Taking notes for sure. That's amazing. Thank you.
Yes.
My next question, again, kind of going, I guess, back towards business. You are obviously multi-passionate. There's so many different legs to your brand and the podcast and all of that. But as a multi-passionate woman, how do you determine which projects that you would want to pursue and, you know, make it as a business or do it for profit versus which one should just, like, be and just exist as hobbies?
Yes. I love this question, Stephanie. When I saw this, I was like, yes, you are so on with your questions. Are
Thank
so
you.
Good. So one of the things, I was recently, like, reliving my past. And when I hit burnout, I started painting, and I've never painted in my life. I'd never taken an art class. My mother-in-law was an elementary art teacher. And so she had this whole, like, supply room in her basement. And I was like, I need something where I'm not staring at a screen, where I'm using my hands again, where I feel creative. And I just started painting for myself. Well, then that turned into, like, a little print shop, which was then passive income, which was wonderful. But it kind of shifted the way that I looked at it. And it shifted the way that I looked at, you know, how do we preserve our lives in the sense of, you know, profiting on certain things and not profiting? And I think there is this weird notion that women should, like, do everything for profit or, like, figure out ways to monetize all the things.
Right.
Yeah. And it's interesting because for me specifically, when I think about, like, the things that I'm most passionate about, it's things like body image and miscarriage and, like, helping women navigate some of those tougher conversations. And those are things that I would never want to monetize. And I look at, like, okay, my business supports the space and gives me the platform to speak about some of those other things that are never monetized, but are just, like, those passions on my heart that, like, I just want to share this with the world and help other people through these things. Yeah. And so what I would say say is like challenge yourself. If you are doing something and you feel this need that you need to share it online, ask yourself why. And okay. I have thought about that a lot. Like when, like, this is such a stupid example, but like when we were in quarantine, Drew and I started doing puzzles, and it was like such a weird hobby, but it was so relaxing. Every night we'd put Coco to bed, we'd put on like Zen music and do puzzles together. Right. And I was like, this is something that is just like, so like playing for the sake of playing. And we need so much more of that. So there are certain things in my life where I'm like, I'm never even going to share this online, because then there becomes this pressure of like performance versus just doing for fun or trying something new for fun. And then there are other things where it's like, I told myself, like, I hate the outdoors. I'm never going to be a hiker. And like, we turned into hikers, and I was like, oh my God, this is so weird. Like, who am I? But I think a lot of last year brought about this like identity shift of like, who am I? What do I like to do? What do I hate to do? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like people, especially, I mean, it's been, you know, a year and a half now, but just in this crazy season, like people are really exploring hobbies. And, you know, I've kind of done a little bit of that as well, but I'm like, does this even need to be a business, or can I just do this for fun? Yes. And why do I feel the pressure to make it a business?
Yes. Yes. No. And I totally get that. And that's like, I stopped doing my watercolor print shop because I was like, now I just feel pressure to perform. And then I'm looking at what does best versus like, what do I want to do? And it's like, wait a second, like not everything needs to turn into that. And I think it's important to have things that are not that. So I love that question.
Yeah. No, I agree. 1000%. Thank you. Let's see.
I think we have time for one more.
Okay, perfect. So I guess I'll end it with, what has been the most valuable piece of business advice you've received from one of your mentors?
Ooh, okay. This is so good. I've had so many, I'm so grateful to have so many amazing mentors. I think something that I've learned is to really trust our guts. And I think that a lot of times as women, we shut our intuition off, or we like stop listening to what our gut is telling us. Mm-hmm. And we just start following other people's paths or the things that have made them successful. And I think it's such a catch 22 because, you know, they always say like, if you want to learn something new, look to somebody who's done it and like, you know, adopt their blueprint. I think that's super smart. I think that's just smart as a human being, learn from other people's experiences. But I think in that process, a lot of times we become blind to like, how does this make me feel? Or like, why do I feel off about this? Or like, why do I want to say no, but I'm going to say yes? And when I look at all the times that my business grew or my life expanded or like my capacity to enjoy life expanded, it was when I really listened to my gut. And I know for me, when I think back of like the most transformative time for me was when Coco was finally born, I literally blacked out an entire year of obligation. So I was still working and I was still serving the world and I was still doing the things I did, but I took away the obligation of doing anything that people were asking of me. And it was really, it felt scary and it felt really risky, but I am such a yes person that I knew that if I didn't make it black and white and just say, I'm taking this year to be with my family, that I would be tempted to say yes to too many things. And so just like really honoring what you need and what is working for you, but getting quiet enough with yourself to be like, is this meant for me? Or like, maybe this is super helpful for somebody else, but this is not what I want. Listening to your gut and your intuition. And what's so cool to think about, Stephanie, is like, you have already made it through the hardest year of entrepreneurship, also in a pandemic. So what got you to this point is going to keep carrying you forward. And so much of that is just your internal knowledge, your belief in yourself, your ability to figure things out. And like, that's going to carry you forward. And so just don't leave that part behind as you continue to grow and scale.
I love that. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's something that I've always, you know, I'm in the same boat as you, where I never say no. And I think that creates so much, you know, just honestly self-doubt when you take on a project that like may not be you know, for me or for whatever. So yeah, trusting my gut is definitely something that I'm going to need to implement.
Yes. And I think too, like I used to call it my gut game, and I'm like, check in on my gut game. Like, is this the wrong client? Or like, is this just not the right fit? And what I found too is like, when I say yes to things, when I knew I should have said no, I dread the work. I don't feel appreciated. I don't deliver to the ability that I can. And it's like, sweet, if I could have pointed them to a person that was the right fit, who they would have clicked with, that would have been a better experience for all of us, right? And so,
yeah,
it's like, it's always hindsight, of course, that's how we work. But I just think, it's like, really pay attention to yourself and just get quiet enough with yourself to check in. And like, if you're feeling a certain way, like, trust it, because there's something in us that is right all the time. It's like the person that's like, I told you so inside of us, and we don't listen to it enough.
Right. No, I agree 100%.
Stephanie, where can everybody find you and learn more about your business and follow you on your journey and check out your photography and your web design? Give me all the places.
Yeah. So first things first is going to be the website, www.stephaniecinchonphotography.com. I am undergoing a rebrand because I'm getting married in January. So that will be changing in a little bit, but you'll get all those announcements on the website. And then on Instagram, Stephanie Cintron Photography, you can find me hanging out there. That's pretty much where I share the most of my content.
Amazing. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the show today and for showing up for this coaching session. I had so much fun. I hope you did too.
Yes. Thanks for having me, Jenna. It's been amazing.
I mean, when I look at what Stephanie has done and in the season that she's done it in, I am in awe. You gold diggers are just amazing. And I love doing these coaching sessions. So if you're listening in and you're like, how do I get coached on the podcast? I want to make sure two things are clear. First, that you're following along on Instagram at Gold Digger Podcast. And two, that you're a part of our Facebook community, the one that I referenced when Stephanie asked where she should find someone to hire. That's our Gold Digger Podcast Insiders Facebook group. We are 60,000 strong and counting. And you can join that by going to golddiggerpodcast.com. We have a link for you to join us inside of our private community that is absolutely free. That is where we post about these opportunities to get coached on the show. And it's a place where you can share your success stories and ask questions and be in community with other gold diggers just like you and Stephanie. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. I hope today leaves you feeling inspired and ready to take action. And I also hope today reminds you to take some time. Time is our currency, and it's probably time that you pat yourself on the back for all the work you've been doing. Until next time, Gold Diggers, keep on digging your biggest goals. I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to golddiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for gold diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at golddiggerpodcast.com.